But you would think, to listen to some of these clips, that politically speaking, these are interesting times.
I'm the son of a black man from Kenya and a white woman from Kansas.
From now on, it will be unremarkable for a woman to win primary state victories. Unremarkable to have a woman in a close race to be our nominee. Unremarkable to think that a woman can be the president of the United States. It turns out the women of America aren't finished yet, and we can shatter that glass ceiling once and for all.
Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Sarah Palin there talking about some of the historical milestones in the presidential election back in 2008. Well, somebody found the super glue and managed to put the glass ceiling for women back together again, cracks and all, in 2012. It's three white guys and the White House incumbent, also male this time around. Did Sarah Palin scare the political establishment off of women candidates, or is the American patriarchy not terribly serious about women getting the top job in American politics? Or are things just fine? Lynn Scherr, former ABC News correspondent, joins us now. What do you think, Lynn?
Oh, just fine. I think that's a push, John.
Why do you think I asked you on the program? Come on.
Well, but good try.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the fact that we're 0-4 in terms of the top of the ticket, you know that medal chart they did with the Olympics every night with countries and how many medals they had?
Right.
There are more than a dozen countries that would have totally aced us out on this one. That is to say, they have women heads of state. We're not even close. And now we don't even have a woman on the ticket, which is more than too bad. I think there really is something about seeing somebody up there that women, that little girls can identify with, that little boys can understand. This is what women do as well. But the truth is, I think it is not all bad news for the following reasons. There's a little bit less cynicism in the fact that Romney did not pick a woman for the sake of, quote, getting the women's vote. That, of course, you may recall, is what the Sarah Palin choice was largely in 2008, and it didn't do anything. And it's a very cynical way to look at women voters in this country, to say all we have to do is put a woman up there, any woman, it doesn't matter what she thinks, and women will vote for her. Mitt Romney needed, pardon the expression, a game changer in this election. He was not, as of the polls, doing particularly well. And all of a sudden, he gets a little bit more life breathed into his campaign with Paul Ryan. So I'm not 100% unhappy about this, although I certainly wish it looked differently.
You know, I love to speculate, as you know, and I always, you know, my scenarios are they tend to be fringe. But I did feel like there was an opportunity for Mitt Romney to pick Condi Rice, who would have been a choice that I think would have, you know, gone way beyond the women for women's sake or African-American for African-American's sake. It would have represented a real interesting choice to me. It didn't go that way.
Well, yes, but it would have required a transplant in Romney's brain, because Condi Rice has very, very different policies from him on a lot of social issues. And he has said that he would not choose a running mate who was pro-choice. Condi Rice, former Secretary of State, is indeed pro-choice, or as she puts it, she is somewhat pro-choice or mildly pro-choice, whatever that means. There are a number of social issues that he could not explain away with her. So while it would have looked good, and she is certainly an extraordinary woman and would be an asset to anybody running for office anywhere, it was not a particularly good fit this year for him.
And, you know, which says a lot about the Republican Party, which we're going to talk about actually in the next segment. Maybe there are some issues in 2012 or some strategic decisions of Ryan Romney or Romney Ryan that harken back to what Mondale Ferraro did in 1984, the first time a woman was on the ticket in the United States, or at least on the major party ticket.
And a campaign that, as you well know, I covered for ABC
Absolutely.
News. And it was just amazing to see that campaign, because we would go to rallies, that is to say we on the campaign bus, and Geraldine Ferraro would get out there, and the number of people that came and brought their children and their babies, and they would just hold them up, and they would say, look, look, and there were tears coming down their eyes. John, I never saw anything like that. And by the way, they were both Republicans and Democrats, and there was an excitement, there was an inspirational factor in the fact that a woman was running on a major party ticket for the first time. Now, let us move on and say it didn't translate into votes.
Well, it's probably good that we're past the tears coming down moment and that it is, as Hillary Clinton says, unremarkable for a woman to be running for national office. But is this more about the impediments for a woman holding the top job in American politics, or is the entire political system male-oriented and going to stay that way for the indefinite future?
Well, I think it's more about the top job, because the truth is that the news is very good at other levels. We have a record number of women who are filing and winning primaries for the U.S. House and the Senate. We have a record number of women. The numbers are not in, but with state legislatures, there are lots of women running. The number of women in state legislatures holding office is slightly down from what it was in 2010. But guess what? 5 times as many women are holding office in the state legislatures than in 1971, than in 40 years ago. 5 times as many. That's pretty good. The number of women in office in the Congress is kind of stagnant. We're sort of treading water in that direction. So the percentages have not really changed. But there are more women running, and that's the good news. I should also point out that the woman who headed up Governor Romney's vice presidential selection choice, Beth Myers, is, of course, a woman. So there are women coming in at these other levels, which to me is very exciting indeed. And do I wish there were a woman among the top four? No question about it. But I think there are other ways to look at it and say, maybe we're going for a more permanent fix to this, and maybe that will happen in another 4 years.
Maybe the real significant change that's taking place here is that women are finding themselves into responsible positions in major campaigns, running the operation from behind the scenes as much as what we're seeing on the actual ticket.
I think that's true. It's what we used to call the pipeline. In other words, getting women into situations, number one, where they can step into more prominent roles, but number two, having the actual the management say, having the power, having the authority. The fact that Beth Myers was the head of Mitt Romney's vice presidential search committee and the whole committee, indeed. I think this is important and something that should not be overlooked. We always, when I was at ABC, and you and I have had this conversation before, the issue, once there were a lot of women on the air, the issue was not so much getting women on the air. It was getting women into management positions so that they would make the decisions that would affect how all of us see and report and know about the news. And I think it's the same thing with politics. And I believe what we have seen, certainly over the last 20 years, is a major shift in that direction. Way more women are in policymaking positions. Look at the Sunday talk shows. There are way more women coming on as consultants, as pundits, if you will. Not all of them have wonderful things to say, but neither do all the men. So that's a kind of equality as well.
And, you know, the proliferation of women in managerial jobs, I don't know the stats, and women at ABC may think very differently about it, but certainly women had an extraordinary influence on the editorial direction of ABC as the numbers increased. I don't know what your experience was.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. I would like to point out that the presidents of the news divisions are still all
right.
All men, and that's too bad in many ways. But that part of it is changing. What the bigger picture that's so interesting to me, and particularly in the wake of the death of the actually legendary Helen Gurley Brown, is that We're sort of backsliding in a very interesting way. We've gone from the year of the woman, and I have to tell you, John, I covered, and I know you covered, several years of the woman in American politics.
There have been a bunch of those.
Exactly. But the year of the woman has now morphed into another old question, which is, can women have it all? A question that I've never quite understood, because the answer is, of course you can. It depends on how you define the word all. And this is a kind of weird retro way of looking at the world. Instead of moving forward, we're going back to this old question that we still haven't solved, that we still need to deal with. And women today don't seem to want to talk about numbers issues. They don't seem to want to say, how many of us are there? How do we get in? How do we crack the glass ceiling? But they do want to talk about what the role of a woman's life is. And I think that may lead to an even broader conversation in this country, which may wind up with better results when it comes to politics, as women figure out what their role is, and as men understand that they too can play a dual role in society of, you know, caregiving as well as outrunning the store. So I don't know.
I think that conversation is definitely going on among men in terms of how you define your life in the career and family mix. And I do think, and, you know, it occurs to me just as you're speaking, that this is a parallel discussion. As the roles of men and women in politics begin to shift a little bit in ways that sometimes are difficult to decipher, it mirrors a conversation that men and women are having about their roles much more broadly. There's a lot of sand shifting underneath everyone's feet here.
I think you're absolutely right. I also think it's largely generational. I see with my kids, there's a whole different way they look at the world. There's a whole different way they share responsibilities at home. And the next generation down is simply going to take a lot of that for granted. We talk about the fact there's this conversation going on. I actually don't think among some of the younger people it's a conversation at all. They just do it instinctively.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And, you know, the conversations with my kids about gender roles are very short. They mostly go, what are you talking about, Dad? Before we go, I have to ask you this. Who was the first lady you interviewed in your career?
Oh, gosh. The first lady would have had to have been... who was after...
Well, think about it. You mentioned that you covered the Ferraro campaign.
Right.
I'm wondering, you know, we're also seeing a change in roles of first ladies.
Interviewed. You know, I'm stuck because I haven't actually interviewed that many first ladies because I mostly have interviewed presidents and candidates. I'll tell you a great story, though. When Nixon was president, I interviewed a bunch of cabinet secretaries' wives. And I interviewed one. Do you remember Robert, was it Fink, Health, Education, and Welfare Secretary?
Yep.
And I interviewed his wife, who said she went to a department store and she gave her charge account. And they said, well, what does your husband do? And she said, well, he's a secretary. And they said, your husband's a secretary? And she said, well, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. And this was like these new cabinet wives coming to Washington trying to figure out how to be wives. It was the beginning of a change in the outlook. And here we have, by the way, the convention's coming up. Ann Romney will be speaking. I know that candidates' wives have spoken in the past, but this is a very interesting woman and a woman who's been out there to so-called soften her husband's occasionally gawky, awkward appearance. And what an interesting thing that will be.
What do you think the gender issues are for the roles, and you've seen them up close, Michelle Obama and Ann Romney in 2012?
I think that living in the White House is a killer job for both the president and the president's spouse. I think it's an utterly unnatural environment, and I think that whatever you do there, you have to judge very, very carefully, and you have to be careful about your criticism. I think that we expect a lot more than well, first of all, it's all been women. Let's just get it out. Okay, fine. We expect a lot more of these women than anybody understands. Nobody has ever really defined the role. I think that each first lady has redefined it in a very interesting way. And I think that's very important. In terms of the gender roles, I think they're pretty clear cut in the issues coming up. And both sides of the ticket have to speak to it.
And we'll see some of those insights in Parade magazine. You interviewed both President Obama and Michelle and Ann Romney and Mitt Romney. When will those be out?
The Romney's interview will appear on the Sunday before the Republican convention, the Obama's the Sunday before the Democratic convention. And I think you will get some very, very interesting insights into all four of these individuals.
Can't wait. Lynn Scherr, former ABC News correspondent and reporter on gender roles in politics. Very broad discussion. Thanks so much, Lynn.
Thanks, John. Lovely to be with you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.